Hello everyone, this is Adam from Zelda Working Title Podcast. I hope you are all doing well. I would like to take this time and inform you that this podcast contains some suggestive material and situations. Suggestive material includes moments in which we use words such as Please be aware that such moments may be present in this podcast. Thusly, listener discretion is advised. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, have a fantastic day and enjoy the podcast. Welcome to another episode of Zelda Working Title Podcast. Today is July 18th, and this is podcast episode number 9. Today we have Laura.
Hi.
Matt.
What? Yep.
And yeah. Alex.
Grundle.
Oh, that was clever.
Oh.
Okay, so first we're going to talk about what we've been playing. Matt, I think you're going to go last since you apparently have a long list of things you've been playing.
Okay.
So Laura, why don't you start us off?
I've been playing Majora's Mask.
Big
still.
Fucking
Yay, that's
surprise.
Fun. Alex.
I finished Twilight Princess, and I'm playing Rock Band 2 again, and Alien Hominid.
Cool. Alright, so I've been going back through a bunch of games I love or haven't played. So, I played Shadow of the Colossus, about halfway through that. Fire Emblem Path of Radiance, which is the GameCube game. I have had that for a long, long time. And I just unwrapped the plastic from it the other day, so I've been playing that. I replayed Star Fox 64, and I replayed Star Fox Assault. Star Fox Assault was trying to be a good game, but it wasn't, and I'm sad because
of it. Oh, it's a shitty, shitty game.
Yeah. They tried, though. I've been playing some Brawl, some Pokemon Platinum, and last night I played some Guitar Hero 3, and I found out that my whammy bar is broken, so I was sad about that.
You played with your whammy bar a little too much.
A little too much.
What do you play? I curiosity. What do you play it at?
Guitar Hero.
Yeah. What like difficulty do you usually play it at?
Guitar Hero. I don't know. It depends on the song. Usually harder, expert.
Okay.
Rock Band. I play on expert.
Okay.
I can't use the Guitar Hero guitar as well as I can use the Rock Band guitar. It makes my hand hurt for whatever
really?
Reason. Yeah.
That's actually like the opposite of everybody else.
Really?
Like, more people prefer the Guitar Hero guitar.
I don't know then.
I like to sing.
Yay. So you don't even need a guitar.
Nope.
You just use that microphone.
Yep, something that requires no skill except real life skill.
I thought you used the skin flute.
Hey. The drums requires a lot of real-life skill.
So does the skin flute.
Okay.
God.
All right, so talk about your iPhone games.
Okay, so this is kind of my little segment. Matt talks about the iPhone games. This is kind of a buyer's guide, because iPhone games, they can get you, because it doesn't seem like a lot, but then when you're buying 10, it's a fucking nightmare. Okay, so here we go. Rolando and Rolando 2. They're both very similar. Rolando 2 has a couple new, it's a tilting based game where you're like these little circles and you go across these levels, and you kind of like tilt the levels back and forth to move your guys. And it's got, they both of them have pretty much the same graphics, very nice, colorful 2D mixed with 3D. Either one of them is good. The second one's better, but it's also $10, and the original is $6. So,
jeez.
They're both pretty pricey for an iPhone game, but the original is a little bit cheaper, so maybe you want to buy that. Okay.
How many levels are in there?
A fucking lot of levels.
All right, that's good.
They're both like really feature packed, and they're both really.
Because I got the light version of the first Rolando, and that had like 5 or 6 levels. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, it's got a lot more.
All right. That's
cool. Okay, and Oregon Trail is my next one. It is the Oregon Trail we all know and love, except with full like graphics, good graphics. They're all really nicely animated. Trail. Yeah, it's fun. It's Oregon Trail. It's $4.99.
You should get an iPhone.
Yeah, it's
Laura
updated.
Died of typhoid.
Yeah, you can. I actually haven't had anybody in my party die, which is a surprise. Maybe because I have it on normal or whatever, but I don't know.
Oh, wait. Speaking of people dying, so I was playing Fire Emblem. I've never played a Fire Emblem game before. Two of my characters died in like one of the first battles, and then maybe like 6 hours later, I finally realized, because like I hadn't seen these people in forever, I realized that characters, when they die in battle, they're gone forever. And I was sad because I didn't want to restart and play 6 hours
over. Is that game on the iPhone?
Like, realistic.
No.
Then why the fuck are you talking about it right now? We're talking about
because
fucking
I
iPhone
found a segue
games.
And I made it happen.
Okay, and okay. Then we got
Segways are fun to ride.
Field Runners, which is a tower defense game, but it's a weird one because you get an open field and you get to make your own paths. It's not restricted. You can build anywhere in the field. It's really fun, and it's only $2.99.
Can you build in the sky?
No, it's 2D. It's top-down 2D. It's got nice graphics. Mass Effect Galaxy, waste of $2.99. It's cheap at $2.99 until you realize it's a piece of shit that only does two things. It is not fun at all. It's like a top-down shooter mixed with boring dialogue choices. Not anything like the actual game. Okay, Doom Resurrection. Fun. $9.99 for this steaming turd. It is basically Doom 3. It's got nice graphics, really nice graphics, but it's a rail shooter where you have to tilt to move the cursor. It is a fucking nightmare to play, and it's not fun at all. You fight the same two enemies. I didn't even get past the first couple levels because it was so boring.
Don't they have like demos or something you can download before you buy these games? So you don't.
Yes,
some games.
You could just listen to me, and why would you even bother downloading the demos? Okay, Hero of Sparta is only 99 cents, and it's fun. It's a God of War clone. It's kind of like, it's 3D, but it's kind of at an angle, like God of War.
Is it
and
like
it's,
that movie 300?
It's exactly like that movie 300. It is exactly like that movie. And it's really fun, and it's a bargain at 99 cents. Star Defense is a tower defense game, except it takes place on a planet that you can move 360 degrees around. They never really take advantage of that besides graphics. Like, it looks nice, but it's a pretty standard tower defense game. It's good, but if it's worth $6, that's up to you. I mean, if you like tower defense games. Yeah.
Like, do you find that like top-down games are better for this than, I know there's like shooter games on these things also.
Yes, I would say overall, top-down or side-scrolling games are the best. 3D games usually fail completely. Star Defense is really nice, actually, though. It doesn't fail at all, but the problem is that it's expensive. It's $6, whereas Field Runners is a much better tower defense game, and it's only $2.99. So it doesn't have the nice graphics, nice 3D graphics, but there you go. And then there's two racing games that I played, Need for Speed Undercover and Real Racing. Both are...
Is that like Ridge Racer?
No.
Real Racing!
They both use nice 3D graphics, and they both don't use an accelerator. All you control is the movement and the braking. But Real Racing's $10, Need for Speed is $7, which is better. I would say get the cheaper one. I mean, Real Racing isn't really any more realistic. It's just, it's got better graphics, but who gives a shit?
How much money have you spent on iPhone games, Matt?
$100.
Yeah, $1 million, I'm going to say.
Wow.
Okay, Mage Story
we'll stick with that.
Is a Diablo clone. It's 99 cents. It's not worth negative 99 cents. It is so shitty that it's almost unbelievable that they would allow this game to be published to the iPhone. It's completely broken. And then one last game, my favorite game out of the, all the games I've played, is called Galcon, or Galactic Conquest, I'm guessing is what it's short for. It's like a game where it's a strategy game, and it's very fast, it's real time, and you just control the movement of spaceships from planets. It's top down, it's 2D, you don't scroll the screen or anything, everything's in one screen. Games can last seconds or minutes. It's a perfect mobile game because it can be fast. You can play it for hours or play it for, you know, one game or whatever.
Do you find that the average game sucks on the iPhone that's being
yes,
published?
Yes, I find the average game on the iPhone is not worth money. Like, Doom Resurrection would be okay for a flash game. Besides the graphics, the gameplay sucks. Mass Effect Galaxy is seriously so terrible that you wonder what they were doing releasing it. And Galcon, and it seems like the best games seem to be the simplest games. Galcon and Rolando are very simple games, but they're pulled off nicely and they have nice presentation.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine
I'd say buy Galcon if you want to play a strategy game, buy Field Runners if you want to play a tower defense game, buy Rolando if you want to play a platforming type game. There you go.
I've got one more game to add. This is a game that some of my friends made for school, and they put it on the iPhone. It's called Mower. It's not really a game per se. It was developed as like an art project using a game engine. But basically what you do, you hold down your finger on the screen, and a little guy starts mowing, and this is a fully 3D game, so the in-game camera gets further and further away from the guy who's mowing, depending on how long you hold your finger down. And basically, I guess the quote-unquote goal is to see how long you can hold your finger on the screen. It's
That's pretty
cool. 99 cents. It's not really a game, but it's kind of fun if you're into that thing, so.
Actually, there's a flash game I want to recommend. If I can find it, it'd be real quick.
Alex, taking forever.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, if you don't know the name of it, then you could
recommend
it. It's
called Friendly Fire. If you can find it, it's www.arcadebomb.com/friendly_fire.html. It's basically you're a hunter, and you kill very cute things. And you could put how much gore you want on the screen. And you have an assortment of guns, basically. You get enough experience to get, like, better guns. So the last set, depending on what guns you decide to choose, you can get different sets of guns on the bottom. So there's plenty of replay value of trying what the best weapons are. And, you know, you can get, like, a tactical nuke or a shuriken launcher. And you're killing, like, cute raccoons. And, like, hedgehogs.
That's awesome.
And then you fight a giant one. And you kill that thing. And they're, like, face rips off.
Spoiler alert.
It's a spoiler alert for, like, the first 2 minutes, so.
That sounds like fun.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's definitely.
I like killing cute things. They make
it's
me
like
bad.
Happy Tree Friends in a game form.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Cool. Alrighty. So, I don't believe there were any games that were released. I feel like there should have been, but we couldn't find any. However, I will mention that Wii Sports Resort comes out in about a week on the 26th. So
I'm gonna buy the fuck out of that game.
We'll talk about that, and that'll be fun.
Yay!
I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do with that game. Is I'm gonna play it.
You gonna go to the beach and play
no,
it?
No, I'm gonna play it.
You gonna play it while you're parachuting out of an airplane?
Nope. I'm gonna play it in my fucking bedroom. And I'm going to get all sweaty, and it's going to be really sad, and I'm going to be just wheezing.
And the controller's going to slip out of your hand, and you're going to break your TV and sue Nintendo and jump out your window because...
And you'll be naked, and in the corner of your room, masturbating furiously.
And bathing in slug oil.
And being and in a fetal position and crying.
Because Wii Sports Resort's main demographic is hairy fat men who have never played sports in their entire life.
I'm going to try archery.
Oh, so that's how this works. Okay, anyways. Gaming news. Club Nintendo for those of you who know what that is, or I guess for those of you who don't, Club Nintendo is basically Nintendo's reward.
Hold on. Is this Club Nintendo anything like Broken Lizard's Club Dread?
No, shut up.
Okay.
Stupid.
So this is Nintendo's reward program. It was just recently introduced to America. It's been in Japan for forever. So when you buy Nintendo first-party or second-party games, they've got a little registration PIN number. You go on the website, you register the product, and they give you points. If you get enough points in a year's time, you get certain prizes. With the points, you can buy like listed prizes that they have on the website. And then if you get a certain amount of points, you get like additional prizes. For example, I think this year, if you got 600 points, you got what's called a gold membership. And if you got like 800 points, that was a platinum membership. And so at the end of each cycle, which is July to July, in addition to any prizes that you bought with your points, you get a free... These are for the gold and platinum members. You get a free additional prize. So for the gold members, you get a Nintendo-themed calendar.
Yay!
So that's kind of fun. Yay! For the platinum members, you get a choice between two things. One is a WiiWare game. It's called Doc Lewis's Punch-Out. Basically what that is Punch-Out, the game, except you play as Little Mac and you fight Little Mac's trainer, Doc Lewis. I think that's really all there is to the game, is just that one battle.
Because everybody wants to beat the shit out of that guy.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be kind of cool to have because no one else can have it except for Platinum members. I'm sure eventually there'll be some way to hack it, but whatever. The other Platinum prize is a replica Mario hat. It is an actual hat. It's not like a plushie or anything. It's a little little Mario cap that you can put on your head.
Why don't they sell that? They would make so much money if they sold that.
You know what I mean, I've been dying for them to make a Link hat, too. And
I know. Why doesn't Nintendo sell any fucking merchandise?
They do. They have it at the Nintendo store, and they do have that merchandise. It's just they don't put that... they haven't made the obvious things. They made, like, a t-shirt. Some shit like that, but I...
A hat t-shirt?
No,
Do they really need to sell merchandise?
Well, I mean, it always brings in extra money.
More money.
Like Pokemon brings in so much money in merchandise.
Oh, I bought a lot of stuff at the Pokemon store.
Yeah, I have an Animal Crossing plushie. That's the only Nintendo stuff I have.
But, I mean, like, the obvious ones would be, like, would basically be the Mario hat, Mario or Luigi hat, a Toad hat, a Link hat,
a master sword.
No, that would kill people.
Sword.
A sword.
It could be made out of
plastic. Oh, they have master swords online.
Anyway.
Nintendo needs to fucking step up and make some good stuff.
Alright, Nintendo, make some merchandise. Little Big Planet, it got costumes for 4th of July, that was a few weeks ago, and it got Ghostbusters costume to celebrate the Ghostbusters game. 360 avatars are going to be getting licensed clothing. Licensed being like a very broad term. The example that they've shown online is like a Halo-themed t-shirt with, I think, like two crossing energy swords. So it's not like clothes that you would see in real life, but more themed clothes that
PlayStation
are
already
licensed
does that, though,
themed.
PlayStation Home.
Yeah, well, this is 360 avatars, Laura.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Kingdom Hearts 3 news. Tetsuya Nomura is the Kingdom Hearts designer, and he says he has ideas for Kingdom Hearts 3, but he isn't focusing on it yet because they're working
on... His ideas...
FF13 versus... His ideas...
His ideas involve darkness and hearts. Shut the fuck up. His ideas are about darkness, hearts of darkness, dark hearts in dark places, and Squall.
And,
you heard it here first.
And we should probably also note that when we say heart, he never means a real beating human heart. He means like love hearts.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only kind of heart that matters, Alex. No. No one.
I want Kingdom. I want Kingdom Hearts to be about the cardiovascular system.
Oh God, that would be
only you would,
the best game.
It would be so cool. You'd be riding a red blood cell.
Shut up.
Okay.
In addition to that, he said the next Kingdom Hearts game may not end up being Kingdom Hearts 3, which is, of course, what these three current Kingdom Hearts games, the mobile phone one, the PSP one, and the DS one are. Everybody thought that they were going to be Kingdom Hearts 3, but they're not. So we'll see about that. However, he does say the next Kingdom Hearts game will be more than just a side story like these three current ones are, so... We'll have
to see. Why are they taking so long, though?
Because they're working on Final Fantasy Versus.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Does that involve Hearts too?
I guess. Good news for WoW players. You will soon be able to change sides. So if you're on Alliance,
Listen
you'll be able
that.
To change to Horde. If you're on Horde, you'll be able to change to Alliance.
What if you're?
Yay.
Or?
Okay. Yes. What if you are on a role playing server and you're in a very intimate relationship?
No, Matt. You're out of
and
luck.
You've been married on the game luck. For 2 years, and your significant other is changing races, and you don't want to change races because fuck orcs.
Fuck changing races.
Yeah.
You better go find a
divorce lawyer. If in real life, my Korean wife was like, I want to be black, I'd be like, why? Why do you want to do that? Now we have to battle each other. We can't be friends anymore.
That causes more conflict. That's the whole point. Better to have loved than lost than to never have loved at all. And
I wouldn't
them.
Love no fucking orc.
Stupid.
I would love a fucking green skinned piece of
and
shit.
This is why our podcast lasts forever.
Hey, there's nothing wrong. This is why we can't have nice things.
All right. I just want to point out that PS3 bundles are getting insane.
This is good news.
I'm not sure if they're still offering this, but Best Buy a few weeks ago was offering 80 gig PS3s with WALL-E Blu-ray and Little Big Planet for $400. And I think currently they're offering 80 gig PS3s with, get this, Metal Gear Solid 4 and Killzone 2 for $400.
Get this.
Two of the best
That's a bargain.
PS3 games you can get.
You should
come with this system.
If I had $400,
so
I'd buy it.
If you have the money and you don't have a PS3, even if you do have a PS3, I think you should look into
this.
It might be a good time to note that there's no official news that Capcom or that Sony or Nintendo are actually dropping their prices anytime soon. So that's probably why
Capcom's
this
actually
right now.
Capcom's dropping all their prices for other systems, which is great news.
That's awesome. Yeah.
The Capcomio.
Yeah.
Did you guys have that? Yeah. So on that same note, there's the rumors going about the PS3 Slim. There is a video that surfaced recently on the interwebs coming from the Philippines, supposedly, and it's a shaky shot of the supposed PS3 Slim.
The guy that's filming it has Parkinson's disease.
I think that was a trailer for Cloverfield 2.
That must be
Cloverfield.
It's coming to get us.
Throw the PS3 Slim at it.
Even though you've got a video, nobody really... It's not confirming anything. It's a shaky video. You can't really see anything.
It's a bunch of Asian kids holding a small black piece of plastic. It literally could be anything.
It could be a giant shuriken.
Yeah, it was an outtake from Gran Torino.
Sony made a patent about emulating PS2 software on the PS3. So people are saying that perhaps... that will be reinstituted to the PS3. That would be very nice. What else? The countdown on the Square Enix site that we were talking about was indeed for the 4 Warriors of Light game, and that is a turn-based RPG for the DS. Ninja Gaiden 2 Sigma for PS3 has been dated in Japan. It's going to be October 1st at 7,800 yens. And it also has additional features.
How much is that in real money?
Co-op, new characters, and fixes for glitches from the 360 version. What were you saying?
How much is 7,800 yen in real money? Like
U.S. dollars.
It's about
not chink bucks.
$78.
$900.
Oh, that's fucking a lot of money.
Yeah. Games are expensive over there. Sega wants more mature games for Wii. While Mad World didn't do as well as Sega had hoped, Sega still wants to try to, quote, push boundaries and explore, unquote.
Well, I think we went over this before already, because they didn't advertise the damn game on TV. So
yeah, well, at least they haven't given up.
No, yeah, so that's a good, it's good news for Nintendo. It's good news for Sega.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also, the PS3 Slim is supposed to be ready this month. That's the rumor. I doubt that's going to happen since there's only like 20 more days. But we'll see. Not even 20 more days. I can do math. Shut up. Nintendo bought a British TV show called Britain's Best Brain.
I was hoping it was Keeping Up Appearances. I love that show. Mrs. Bucket.
Yeah, I know. I record it all the time. I watch it every day after school. It's great. Excuse me. So basically, it's pretty similar to Nintendo's Touch series, like Brain Age and the Reflex games and stuff. So that's it about that. Universal won rights to an Asteroids movie.
Yes! Woo!
We really needed that one. It's Vin Diesel in this?
Yep. I have no idea.
No, it's actually, you just go and it's Armageddon.
I hear, though, it has asteroids in it.
Really?
You know, rocks from outer space.
Wow, that's amazing.
It is Armageddon, except they've now re-CG'd in at the end when they're driving that rover. It's now just like a triangle thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it shoots it and it explodes.
And that's it.
And then you win.
All right.
And Aerosmith has been replaced by Bleeps and Bloops.
Speaking of movies, there's supposed to be a new Resident Evil film by September 2010.
Yes!
I know everybody is so excited about that. It's going to be the best movie ever, quite possibly. Goichi Suda, the developer for No More Heroes, says that he's interested in Project Natal, and he also says that the next No More Heroes after No More Heroes 2 may not be on Wii. So that's kind of sad news if it comes true. But he also said that he wants Travis Touchdown in the next Smash Brothers, if there is one. So that'd be kind of cool. Advertisements on the 360 dashboard are coming to a 360 near you. So those will be kind of annoying. However, the team that's making it says it's supposed to not interfere with
Paying already to play my fucking 360 online. Now I have to look at advertisements too. I thought I was playing. So
right,
I...
that's what everybody's wondering is where all that money is.
Yeah,
going.
we talked about this again the last podcast, right? About where the costs are going.
Mm-hmm.
So
wait, shouldn't advertising fucking cover this? What the shit, Microsoft? I'm gonna call my local congressman and tell him Microsoft is bullshit.
I mean, it's a reason why people should stop buying.
I
hate to say it. It's, if you want to stop them, do it. Then don't play 360 games online. Hey, if you want.
And there you have it.
That's how you stop them. So.
Cut and dry. All right. So EGM is returning.
Yes.
But not as a magazine.
No.
As a digital magazine. So basically what that means is that you pay for a subscription, but instead of getting paper, you get digital articles.
Nobody's ever going to do that.
Gonna work, since it's going to be pirated all over.
Can I read it on the can?
Yeah.
On my laptop.
Are they still having reviews?
You can take it with you everywhere. I guess. I think it's just going to be the same stuff, just digital.
Okay.
That's what it's sounding like.
Because they actually have pretty good reviews.
Yep. Marvel vs. Capcom 2, its release date is now July 29th, not June 29th. God of War movie is going to have the exact same plot as the game, except for the very ending, in which, spoiler alert, Kratos jumps off a cliff and says, "Your turn, Hades." Obviously setting it up for a sequel.
Are you serious?
God of War, played by Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh my god, this is
everyone should
terrible.
Go. Everyone go look up, listening to this, go right now. Look up Jake Gyllenhaal in the Prince of Persia movie and look how fucking ridiculous he looks. It's laughable. That movie's going to be hilarious.
Hilarious in a good way?
Hilarious in a Street Fighter way. But probably not that good. Nothing
you
can
really
be that good.
That movie was going to be good, Matt?
What, Laura?
That movie was not going to be good anyways.
No.
I asked Matt.
No, well, I had a high hope because I love video game movies, and
no, you didn't. Shut up.
Drake Gyllenhaal, Drake and Josh, Jake. I don't know.
So, for those of you in tune with the emulating scene, Mario Galaxy is now playable in HD with the Dolphin emulator, which is of course a Wii emulator on the PC or Mac or what have you. So that's pretty cool. Should take a look at it. Looks very pretty. I don't know if I should talk about Star Fox.
No, don't. Yeah. You're already causing fucking problems.
Yeah.
Can I talk about something real fast? Real 1 second. Sure. I just wanted to say, you know, when I'm buying a snack, I buy Gamer Grub. you know what I said on a couple podcasts ago when I said Gamer Grub kind of tasted like overpriced Chex Mix? I was really just talking out of my ass there. Gamer Grub is so delicious. It's good for you. It makes you look good. It, you know, it makes you feel good. Everything about
it.
It
makes you play games better. Most
it made my dick a little bit bigger, too, which is weird. And
I could tell from experience that his dick was pretty big to begin with.
Yeah. So, I'm just saying, if you're going to, if as a gamer, as a lover, as a father, as a grandfather, I bought a year's supply of Gamer Grub, and I think everyone should. I would just go buy it.
If Charles Darwin was still alive, he would say, the only way for humanity to become even better is by taking in Gamer Grub.
Yeah, it's the next step. It's the next
evolutionary step.
Homo superior.
Guys,
and it's by Gamer Grub.
I'm scared. I'm scared of evolution. I don't want to evolve. Haven't you guys seen those movies?
Gotta,
it means everybody
you
dies.
Gotta catch them all. Oh, never mind.
What? That's not where I was going. Not at all. No. Not at all. All right.
Oh my God.
Let's talk briefly. Actually, we'll save that for last. Let's go over MPD numbers real quick. Alex, you want to do that?
No, I don't really want to do that.
Well, then why did you say you were going
to? No, I just brought it up. Thought it would be a good idea.
MPD numbers.
Well, the DS
they exist.
Did the best. The Wii did the second best with 361,000 units. And then there's a 360 with 240,000. PlayStation 3 with 164,000. PSP with 163,000. And PlayStation 2 with 150,000. And looks like Prototype did the best in sales for the 360, which 419,000. And Kyle was saying this, I think. Fight Night Round 4. 360 and PS3 sold about equal amounts. Came in 6th and 7th. And the other big news is... What was it?
Wii Play.
Yeah. Wii Play is out of there. It's not in the top 10 anymore. So it's been on for like 29 months or something. So... that's about it.
Okay. Cool. Alright, you guys want to talk about what Miyamoto said about the next Zelda?
Well, that's not much information on that. He just says it's not going to be that
Different. Can we say that Zelda officially has no timeline?
Yeah, we should do that.
Fuck the Zelda timeline. There is no fucking timeline.
There is no fucking timeline, asshole.
Okay, so there was an article.
Andor, there is no fucking timeline.
Oh, jeez. Some guy... What was it? He made, like, a really, really intricate timeline theory and sent it to Nintendo to see what they thought about it. Was that how it started?
Yeah.
Okay. So, basically, Nintendo emailed him back and said something along the lines of... Oh, God, I don't remember. They did not say there's no timeline. They said something that you can infer that.
But there's no definitive information saying there is or is not a timeline.
Something
which is
like
a very,
that. And so now,
it's a very safe thing
now
to say.
Now people are saying there is no timeline. Personally, I don't buy it.
Well, okay, so, I mean, why don't you buy it? I don't really understand that part.
Because I'm
what
a dreamer, Alex.
Yeah, what is there to buy?
Games.
Yeah, there's games lots to buy. I mean, I don't understand what makes the game better if there was a timeline.
I don't know.
I think that's...
Personally, I would like it if they were connected. If they're not, I won't die.
I mean, because the other thing is, a lot of people use Miyamoto and Aonuma's words, right? That's mm-hmm. what they're basing it on.
Yeah.
Not on the actual things in the game. And whatever...
Well, I mean, people were comparing them before they said anything about it. Because, like, the first comment from them was from Wind Waker, right?
Or was from Ocarina of
like
Time,
before...
I think. Because they were talking about the timeline
really?
With Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask.
Nintendo was saying that, or people were saying
Miyamoto was sort of saying they had this little conversation on what actually is happening. like a separate time, you know, it's a parallel time that's occurred. I don't think anybody's really said that they were connected so much. The only real time they would start saying it is with Link to the Past.
No, okay, here's... A Link to the Past is connected to Link's Awakening, obviously. It's a direct sequel, right?
Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask.
Yeah, Majora's Mask is a direct sequel to Ocarina of Time, and then Ocarina of Time...
obviously.
And then Wind Waker is an obvious sequel. Yeah, so you have spin-offs. Yeah. You know those are within
There's some games that are connected, but there's no overall connectivity in the series. That's what they're saying.
That's what people are inferring.
No, that's what fucking Nintendo just said. That's what Nintendo said, is there's no...
Do you have the quote, Matthew? Do you have it right in front of you right now? No, I don't think so.
My entire interpretation of this was that every time you had another Zelda game...
interpretation.
Yeah, every time a new Zelda came out, it was basically a game within itself. You're replaying the same game, only there's different things happening.
I don't like that theory.
What did you send me, Laura?
I really like that. I like that kind of idea, where... You know what's going to happen in the beginning and the end. It's just what's in the middle that's different. It's the adventure that makes the difference. I mean, that makes it far more interesting because you could tell so many different stories in the same with the same characters.
Yawn. Anyways, we can make that our own separate podcast.
No, we're not talking about the timeline for a whole podcast. That's all we're talking about. The fucking timeline is bullshit. The podcast is bullshit. Fucking Laura sending me gay porn
is
bullshit.
Why are you here, Matt?
She sent me a dude doing another dude on a car, and it was CG.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I would expect her to send you a picture of Jesus fucking Christ being two Jesuses, and one of the Jesuses actually fucking another Jesus.
Wow, that sounds great.
Oh my god.
All right. What do you guys say we talk about our main discussion?
Yay! Harry Potter. Okay.
Yeah. Harry Potter was so good. Oh my god.
Okay, our game's harder now than they were.
Alright, so today we're going to talk about, do you guys think games are harder than they were back when we were little, or were they harder?
Okay, I'm going to say
are they harder now, or were they harder then? Or is it something that we just think is harder and they're not really harder?
Well, if you reach out and touch it, you can tell if it's harder. If it's... Just grab a hold.
Matt, we're not talking about dicks. We're talking about games.
Same thing, okay? Anyway...
Wrong podcast.
I think a lot of old games were hard because they were technically very shitty. And they cheated. And they just made... They were frustratingly hard.
Depends on the game. I think it depends on the game there. Contra is a fair game. It's also a hard game.
Yeah. Super Ghouls and Ghosts cheats.
Ghouls and Ghosts cheats and is shittily hard.
Cheats how?
It pops up enemies where you can't dodge them.
And also you can't alter your jumps.
Do you think that's cheating, or do you think that's the technical limitation?
They're doing it so... Well, it was originally an arcade game. They're doing it... A lot of old games were originally arcade games that are designed to kill you, so you have to put in more quarters. That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. And that's why so many old games were hard, because you were supposed to pay more money to fucking beat them. Now you don't have to worry about that. You pay $60 for the game, and you're supposed to be able to see the whole thing.
I agree with you on the technical limitations part, but I think there's a lot of really good games that are actually legitimately difficult, as in you can get through from beginning to end. The Mega Man series is a good example. Mega Man 1 is a very hard game, but that's very cheap. When you go from 2 through 6 on the NES, those are legitimately... Most people now would call them difficult games. Surprisingly, Link to the Past, I think a lot of people playing games today would find it difficult. They would actually die.
No.
It's a very easy... No. I think that's... When you say... I mean, that's what... I remember my friend, he played Ocarina of Time, and he's like, oh, I'm a master at Zelda games. He never played top-down Zeldas before. And he couldn't even get past the first castle.
The original Zelda was so cheap because it was... like enemies would come at you through walls and stuff because it was technically
very first Zelda, the very first Zelda and Zelda 2. Zelda 2 especially was really cheap.
Zelda 2 is not can't be completed by men. That
no, it could. Well, I mean, the thing is, okay,
that is a very hard.
It's
game.
A very cheap. It's hard because it's very cheap. So I mean, I guess we have to define first what's a fair game, right? So
the next question is, what makes these games hard?
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. Some of it's Mario Brothers is a fair game. It doesn't fucking throw a Koopa in the middle at you when you're jumping in midair. It's just patterns you have to realize, and you get good at your reaction time. And you can beat Mario on your first time through if you're really good.
But, Mario doesn't... When you die, it's not because you feel like crap. It's the game's fault.
I think
you die
a game,
you screwed up.
You can tell if a game is hard because it's hard or hard because it's cheap if you're getting better at it, not just learning.
Right, but for even for games that are quote-unquote fair, like there's different reasons for them being hard. Like Mario, you could say it's hard because, I don't know, reaction. Something like...
I think it's easier to say what makes a cheap
like
game.
Something like a fighting game, you could say you have a billion combos to learn. I don't know.
Well, I mean, something like Zelda 2 is cheap because, number one, the jump detection isn't very good. So you can't really jump from one edge. They have these long jumps that you have to jump precisely at the edge of one to the edge of the other. And that's not really fair.
Like your feet have to be floating in midair.
Pretty much. You have to do it at the last minute, the pixel's hitting the
well,
edge
yeah,
of
the,
a,
yeah. the collision
that's
detection in old games is just not very good at all.
No, they were good. I mean, Contra's a great example where you have really good collision detection, and if it's possible to go through the game without dying, and it's not unreasonable, but it's extremely difficult to be able to do it through 8 levels of various difficulties. Meg?
Don't you guys think that... I think that games, like, older games are harder because of the save.
Well, yeah, that too.
Some of them you can't save.
Well, I mean, and the part of the reason for that is that the purpose of the game, right? The old games are made because they're kept... The entertainment values from the challenge. They're entertaining because they're supposed to be hard and they keep you coming back.
Well, no,
you beat the game.
They're hard, like I said. It doesn't matter if it's cheap or if it's fair hard. They're still designed for you to spend more. Most of them were arcade games designed to get your money.
But in the end, even when you had later NES games that had that point, it was still hard because they wanted to keep you entertained for that reason. I think what...
Okay, here's a question. Even for the games that weren't arcade games, you would assume that the developer wants people to keep playing these games, right? Okay, so do you think that people were working under that assumption that you wanted the player to keep playing and playing and playing, or do you think people wanted the players to get through the game kind of like they do now?
No, they wanted to keep them playing, playing, and playing. I mean, the thing is, you're supposed to die a lot, and you're supposed to know what's supposed to happen next.
Even for games that are story-driven?
Well, that's the problem. There weren't a lot of story-driven games back in the NES days. Even Zelda wasn't very story-driven.
Right.
You were told the story in the first 5 minutes.
Right, but it wasn't anything like an arcade game.
It was still sort of like an arcade game. It was it was still hard to get you through it, and there wasn't much of a story in it. I think later on, people wanted you to finish a game because there was more of a narrative involved. When you got into the more 3D... So when you compare something like Link to the Past to Ocarina of Time, and you look at how the story is developed, you have a very basic story for Link to the Past for the most part. They tell you what to do next, and they don't really go into any depth with the story. When you look at Ocarina of Time and you start looking at the N64 days and the PlayStation days, they start telling these very elaborate stories. There's more emphasis on character interactions. And they're really trying to flesh out an entire world for you. And I think there was an intrinsic change in how they were actually making a game at that point. Another great examples are transition games, right? So if you look at a game like Castlevania, you look at Castlevania 1 through 3. Castlevania 3 is probably like the most advanced of the original Castlevania games. But it was still go through so many levels. You have some different paths you can take, and there's a basic story in place, but it's still a very, you know, linear game. You go from left to right and you beat a certain boss and it's still fucking hard. And then when you look at something like Symphony of the Night, which is basically the PlayStation Jump, there was a huge story. Alucard, I mean, number one, they took the story from Castlevania 3 and fleshed it out completely. But it's also a much easier game. And there's so many things you can do. So it's less on challenge and more on accessibility and really having the player understand and feel what the story really is. I think that's why games have gotten easier for the most part.
I think, because, and not only were arcade games designed around that, but that's the kind of mindset people had, is that the people who were playing video games were the arcade gamers. They were the people who wanted challenge because that's what they got in the arcade, so when they brought it home, they wanted the same thing. So
that's what people still associate with games. That's what a lot of adults still associate as.
Yeah,
a game,
but that's
right?
not.
So it's
what,
something
that's
as a
not
challenge.
People who's.
That's changing.
Yeah, that's
really
not people who's.
It started
who playing
because,
games.
Yeah, the accessibility
so
is starting to change.
In the PlayStation era, you started to have CD based games, like you said, games based on story. You know, more girls started playing games, stuff like that. So you had.
Oh my God, Sephiroth!
So you had games that could be based on story, and a lot more games started becoming easier and more accessible because. It wasn't just these hardcore people who were playing it, you know.
Well, I think when you look at the length of games,
that's when they started to introduce Mrs. Pac-Man, isn't it? You know that. That first they had Mr. Pac-Man. Right?
No, it was just regular Pac-Man. It wasn't fucking Mr. Pac-Man.
Then see that no, Mr.
It was
Mr.
regular Pac-Man. He wasn't tied down.
No, call him by his correct title. You were being impolite. His name was Mr. Pac-Man, and he had these four guys always chasing after him. Except when he got, like, this little circle, he started chasing them. But then things changed in the gaming world. Then they introduced his wife. His unknown wife, in fact. Mrs.
I thought it was
Pac-Man.
Ms. Pac-Man.
See, this is how I know he's a mister. No, Mrs. They're married. All right. You're also being impolite. Mrs.
Don't
Pac-Man.
Argue with Adam. God,
this is
good.
When the gaming industry changed. This is when girls started playing games. This is when girls became part of gaming. This is when the mindset of
I want to know.
This is when
how
this
do
is
Mr.
When
and Mrs. Pac-Man fuck?
Pac-Man?
This is when gaming girls came
where
into society.
Is,
this is when and from here on, booth babes were made.
Where are the Pac exactly. people's genitals? I don't see how did they. How did they produce?
They reproduce
offspring?
With their mouths.
That,
one way goes in, one way goes out.
No, that brings up another interesting question. The 2D versus 3D. Because in two dimensions, it would be kind of, especially in like, what, 10 by 10 pixels, it'd be kind of hard to show the entire Pac-Man
pickles?
Person along with their genitalia.
But in 3D, we saw that when Pac-Man transitioned to 3D, he had a big swing and cock.
Is Pac-Man a top-down or a side-scroller? If it's a top-down, then it's obvious why you don't see it. If it's a side scroller, then it's
yeah.
Adam, have you been saving this for this podcast specifically?
In
yes,
3D,
I thought it up on the very first one, and I've been saving it up until now.
Did you guys play the Pac-Man 3D platformer games?
No.
They weren't terrible.
I played
they
one.
Did you
but
guys
Pac-Man
play 3D
still
Frogger?
Didn't have a dick. Okay, that's my main
yeah,
concern.
I was about to say there was no genitalia still.
He was wearing skin tight suit.
That is not true.
Look, even in the TV obviously. Show, he wasn't having any balls. He was a ball, but
still,
he himself
wearing
was
a skin tight suit. What's so hard to understand?
I think he himself is a testicle.
That could be.
Aren't
him
we
and
all?
Ms. Pac-Man are two
that
testicles
very
on
well
one penis.
Could be. There you go. The X and the Y chromosome, one for each.
Exactly. It's a metaphor. For life.
Mystery solved. Did you guys play the 3D Pac-Man?
You guys are geniuses.
Or not the 3D Frogger.
No.
Really?
How does Frogger go to 3D?
Oh, man, in fifth grade, that was all the rage.
Frogger
Everybody
doesn't belong in 3D.
Oh, no, my friend, it does. It was so much fun, you have no idea. You had different, like, heights that you could jump, and he could stick his tongue out and, like, eat flies and stuff. It wasn't just about
Sounds
getting across
so
the street.
So complicated.
No, because that was established in the first Frogger. The first Frogger, he got across the street. But now, Frogger is on to better and grander adventures.
Like space?
No, not space, Alex. That's stupid. Like lakes, where frogs live. Good
God. I really hate you. I really hate you, Adam.
Okay, okay. What was this about? Better visuals, better able to see what players doing. What the fuck does that mean? So
maybe we should start talking about what makes a hard game. What makes a fair hard game? Like what makes a Mario game fair and hard?
Okay, I think unfair and hard. Do stuff like spawn enemies on top of you, make enemies be able to move through fucking walls.
But again, is that the programmers like intentionally making it unfair,
maybe,
or is that
it doesn't matter?
I think that was just I think that's poor design.
It doesn't matter if it was the programmer's intention or not. If it's frustrating like that, then it's not fun for most people.
And if it's not fun, it's a poor design, and that's just that's an error on the part of the programmers.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. I think that's a fair assumption to make, and I think it's important to state this now because there's 3D games that try to be hard and they go about it the wrong way.
Yeah.
How so?
I'll give Ninja Gaiden. One of the biggest complaints has been
I knew you were gonna say
Ninja
that.
Gaiden. I haven't played it, but I've been reading the reviews for this talk specifically. God of War, I have a lot of gripes about, but let's start with Ninja Gaiden. One of the big problems appears to be the camera angles, right? You can't see what's somebody shooting behind you.
Oh, yeah.
You get your ass kicked. Now, that's not hard. Gaiden. Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah, you're fucking Asian, Alex.
I hate the fucking Japs. But, anyways, so if you can't see what's hitting you, that's not fair. Like, if you just see this...
Oh, my God! Sorry. Another game that does that is Star Fox Assault. That's what pisses me off the most, is that you cannot tell when you're being hit.
Now,
sorry.
But it's a big problem.
I just
it's
had
a
to
big
yell that
it's
out.
A big limitation of 3D games. And one of the ways they do that, they try to fix it, is by having fixed camera angles. And God of War tries to fix it with a fixed camera angle. Except in their case, when you don't take a lot of damage, it's not a big deal. When you're starting to play, and most of the games are actually, they're built off of normal, I think. When a game developer makes a game, they start off at normal, and then they make it harder by...
A lot of times they do hard, because hard is the easiest to program, because you know exactly what you're doing, the computer's pretty much perfect, and then they make it dumber.
And that's each, that would basically. Be smart, but then when you try doing something even harder, like God mode... Or you do the hardest, you have something harder than hard. They have to do it so that you're really put at a huge disadvantage just to make the game more difficult. And the way they do that is they ramp up the damage. And so it gets to a point where you get hit twice and you're dead. Right? And that's.
And you're saying that's the incorrect way to do
probably,
it?
That's the wrong way to do it. There's no reason.
Right.
Because if you can't see what. So if you can't see what you're getting hit by. And you get hit by it once or twice, and you're dead. That's not fair.
That's Ninja Gaiden.
That's just pure memorization. That's ridiculous programming.
Right, Ninja Gaiden.
In God of War's case, there's enemies that do... Most enemies do, like, a flash attack, so, you know, you're far away. You could see the enemy attack you and block in time. There's a lot of times where the enemy does, like, a swing attack, and you can't see where it's coming. And so you get hit by this thing twice on God mode in the original God of War, or on Titan mode in God of War 2, you're dead. And you're just left to think, like...
Another good example of something like that is Resident Evil 4's veteran mode, professional mode, where you basically get hit once and you're dead, especially because they have the issue of, like, not turning well. So if something's behind you and you get hit, I mean, you're never going to see it and
you're
dead.
Fucked, yeah. And you need to be able to react to something.
I mean, it's not they're making the AI any smarter. It's just they're making it a lot easier for you to get a game.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. So if you ideally want to make a harder game, you want to make it so that...
You'll make the AI better.
You want to make it so that the AI is smarter. You want to make it so that everybody around you is better, but that your intrinsic qualities are still the same. So your abilities, the amount of damage you take... You might be able to ramp that up a little bit, but you don't want to do it too much.
Yeah, right.
And there's other annoyances like...
In something like Zelda, I think they could really do with ramping up.
Oh,
Zelda
yeah.
definitely can do it,
even
yeah.
Just,
and Zelda's...
Even just, like, normal gameplay.
Zelda's mistake is that they...
That's a personal
Zelda's biggest mistake is that they're starting with quarter heart damage. The original Zeldas were quote unquote harder, partly because like Link to the Past is a very fair game, and it could be seen as if you play it enough, it's easy. But if you're, it's still hard in that if you make minor mistakes, you'll get killed. You'll get your ass taken.
Do you guys think that they should have a difficulty level for Zelda that you could choose?
I don't. I think they should probably have two difficulty levels, and one of them just has it so that the minimal amount of energy taken off is just a half heart. Do something what it was originally.
I mean, if we're talking about Zelda, I've always thought that they should at least, well, first of all, they should make it harder, because I mean it's really, really easy. You've got the standard 3-hit boss, and it's just, it's all the same. The most damage you can take is
two hearts at most.
Like, what, 2 or 3
I
hearts?
I think Twilight Princess is probably the easiest,
which is
right?
Like barely a tenth. That's barely a tenth of your HP. So basically, you can get hit 10 times in like the minimum, and you'll be dead.
What's the hardest game you guys remember playing when you were younger?
Battletoads?
Are
you serious?
I don't know. I think probably Zelda 1.
No, Zelda 1 wasn't so bad.
I would say, I was laughing at this earlier, Alex, but I would probably say A Link to the Past.
Really?
Because when I was younger, I could not for the life of me get past the Dark World. Like, the first time you're transported to the Dark World,
it's brutal.
You know, you're a bunny and you're on Death Mountain. I didn't know what
and
to do.
And it's brutal, too.
I was
like
stuck.
Those enemies, was it, the Cyclops guys take away 3 hearts. Or something like that. Like, some enemy...
That's what I'm talking
about.
Some
of the birds take away 3 hearts. And the thing is, you're given... At that point, you can have... I think you can have the whole bottom row filled of hearts.
I don't know! The hardest game. I actually did play this as I was a kid. Or, when I was a kid. Kid Icarus.
Oh, that was tough as hell.
I did actually play that as a kid. I mean, to this day, I can't even get past, like, the first level.
But you know
level,
what?
But...
With Kid Icarus, it's, like, a legitimately hard game, too. And that's... I think that's... Because... And when you play a legitimately hard game, when you get hit, you don't feel bad about the game. You're frustrated at yourself, for the most part. You throw your controller all over the place because you know you shouldn't have gotten hit. There's... If you play a game like Super Ghouls and Ghosts, like Matt was saying... Most of the time, you're like, "Where the hell? How the hell am I supposed to avoid zombie face coming, jumping out right where I'm supposed to be?"
Yeah,
it ends up being complete luck.
Another way, developers make games harder, especially like for RPGs and real-time strategies and stuff, is like if you have different stats, they just up the AI stats or like critical hit
the
ratios.
Numbers, yeah.
Like, AI gets a critical hit every time. Oh, fantastic.
But
I'm
again,
hit.
That's there's a
you know,
there's a very
like
big
that.
Mistake with that, and we were talking about it before where
right, because I mean that's not
the game wasn't
you
designed for that.
Ever
the game
overcome.
Was clearly not designed for them to just make the numbers maxed out at 255 and put you at such a huge
right.
disadvantage. And they're just doing they're just doing that to play around with you, because people are still going to beat it. It's just going to be more frustrating to do so.
Right, and the thing is you can't overcome it if it happens. Yeah. You just have to get really, really lucky and hope that it doesn't happen.
God of War 2, you know? I think we were talking about this before, but they made some really big mistakes. One of the other ones, aside from ramping up damage...
What were these big mistakes?
Huh? So, you never... And I think Resident Evil 4 also has this problem. Any kind of hostage rescue thing where you're supposed to protect somebody is a bad idea.
Fuck that. Resident Evil
you know
4,
what I'm talking about,
Resident
right?
Evil 4 did it the best because Ashley, you could tell her to hide and stuff. But
and she'll actually do it?
And but any game where you have to escort somebody, escort missions...
I hate those.
It's like I deal with enough escorts in real life. I don't want to have to deal with them in video games.
Well, the thing is, the AI has to be... If you're doing something like that, the AI has to be smart enough to avoid it. And also, the protagonist...
Right, the partner AI.
The partner AI has to be smart enough to avoid it. In God of War's case, the first God of War had it really bad in the... was it the second to last battle where you have a bunch of other Kratoses coming out? In hard mode, you can just knock them all out, and the family doesn't lose so much energy that it's impossible. In God mode, they die after like 2 or 3 hits. And it just... you know, you're playing this thing over and over. The rest of the game...
So then that's the same thing as racking up the damage.
Yeah, it's a combination of two things. It's so frustrating because you know that the rest of the game, you sort of... At least you know how to avoid out of it. In this case, you have to worry about a stagnant object that's going to get hit. And you're protecting it while you protect yourself.
Right, and in that case, you have the limitations of the control in the character. You know, like, you can only do so much. You know, you're a human,
yeah.
First of all, so you will make mistakes. Second of all, you have a character that can't just do whatever you want. You can't say, like, oh, hey, pull out a sword that will kill everything just by looking at it. You know, you have to play within the confines of the game.
It's less skill. At that point, it's less skill-based and more luck-based. And once you're relying on luck and not your
own luck. Because even if you do everything perfectly, there's still some chance you'll
fail. I think
that ends up being bullshit. That ends up being just frustrating.
I think that's it. That's what makes a difference between a hard game and a frustrating game. Is if it relies... If the game's relying on luck, on the player randomly beating it, then it's not fair anymore and you don't want to play it.
Yeah. And in God of War 2, they basically...
But don't you feel good when you do beat it?
In God of War 2, they do it again. And it's this... What was this? The scholar that was supposed to reach it.
And he doesn't end up beating...
You don't need it. Because he has to die anyway. Because you end up smashing his face and he bleeds on the floor and the bleeding blood from his body...
Spoiler alert.
And that's the most absurd part of it. But the thing, what really pissed me off with that was, if you were to throw an enemy and he whipped him around, your guy would actually get hit, would take the damage.
Nope. Not possible, Alex.
Yeah.
You are a scientist. You should know how real things work in real life. And you should know that real things don't work like that.
Well, I mean, the thing is, so if you were to actually hit the guy with your own physical attack, it would be he doesn't take any damage. It's only when you're throwing the enemy that the enemy is a projectile, but he counts as an enemy, and it's him hurting the guy. Yeah. So they obviously, like, whoa, we made a mistake. They didn't realize they made a mistake there. Somebody should definitely have caught that. And, you know, if you do something like the lightning moves, it doesn't hurt him. But that ends up being just...
It sucks.
You end up having to figure out a way to...
So basically they've got, like, a collide box on the weapons and the enemies, and if it touches this guy at all...
He gets hurt.
That's what it seems like they're doing.
That's basically it. It's lazy programming. They're like, well, you know, it's all right. We're just ramping up everybody's damage to make the game harder. And they assume that this is the kind of challenge people want. I think that's the mistake these guys have. Especially a game like God of War, and Ninja Gaiden also, it's not the type of game... They want you to get through it to tell the story. That's the whole point. It's just that there's a group of people that really like hard games, and this is one outlet for them. I'll give you an example of a FPS that does a really good job of doing it. The first Call of Duty for PC does a really great job, I think.
Oh, yeah, the difficulties on that are awesome.
Of doing what?
And because the thing is, if you get shot, it's your own damn fault. So
Call of Duty
in the 4, first Call of Duty.
Call of Duty 2 also did it good.
They all do it really well, because thing is, you're supposed to take cover.
Call of Duty 4 fucked it up so bad. Call of Duty 4 was so cheap and ridiculous. I hated that game. Fuck that. Fuck Call of Duty 4.
But I mean, they do the right job in that, in Call of Duty 1 specifically, they don't have any med kits. And if you get shot twice, you're pretty much dead. You're pretty much gone. So,
well, I mean, that's how it is.
It's what it is in real life, and they're trying to mimic it as close as possible. But the thing is, you can...
Which, personally, I like that to an extent.
If you can get out... Because if you can get out of it, and if there's a fair way of doing it, then it's a very good way.
It makes the game more quote unquote realistic, but sometimes they can take it too far, and you know it either makes the game impossibly hard or it just makes it plain unenjoyable.
Yeah. In Call of Duty's case, what they do is that you have to be able to find your cover in the right place, and it's never a situation where you're always guessing like. They're not going to come here. You have to cover your ass and find a really good spot to sort of hole yourself in.
And that's kind of why I like the idea of having games, they have these in one of the Koreas, that if you die, you're dead. Yeah. You know, you have to start over completely. You know, you lose your character, you lose everything. It's like you actually died. You know, I'm not sure how fun that would be, because obviously it would suck beyond anything, beyond, like, all the sucking in the world. Make as many jokes about that as you want. But I still have, like, immense respect for that kind of thing. Because it... I don't know. It's just, personally, I think that's a really cool thing to have. Just that kind of immersion and saying, like, you know, you're dead. Sorry. Yeah. So, Laura, why don't you ask that question again?
I just wanted to know if you guys knew of any of the games that were... that are hard, that are, like, I don't know how to word it.
That, like, are so hard that you don't want to play them?
Pretty much, yeah, but from when we were younger, you know what I mean?
From the days of old?
Yeah.
Well, when you were young, or when we were young?
When, I knew you were going to say that, Matt. When
everyone knew he was going to say that.
Paddleball? Yeah, how about that? You had paddleball, you had hopscotch.
Pong.
Handball. Monopoly.
Kick the can.
Hopscotch was pretty
Crack
hard.
The whip. Red Rover, Red Rover.
Yeah, you're good.
Women's
Send Laura right over.
Suffrage.
Yeah, so for me, this wasn't so much an issue when I was a kid, because I would just play anything, you know, regardless of whether it was hard or not. But now, like Kid Icarus, it's so incredibly hard. Like, I can only play it in short intervals. Like, I play it for a day, I fail at it, and then I don't come back to it for, like, another 6 months.
I really...
You know what game pisses me off now that I used to be able to play all the time? Is Super Mario 3. For some reason, that game pisses me off.
Why?
I just can't get through that game now. I don't know why. I suck at that game. And I used to be so good at that game when I was younger.
Did you see the speed run of it?
No.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Did it in 20 seconds.
But that's an example of a hard game that's also fair. And back in the day, it was considered easy.
Well, I think any...
By today's standards, it'd be a hard game.
Any Mario Brothers game is challenging and fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a fun game. It's funny that I used to be so good at it when I was younger, and now I...
Even
stop.
Mario Galaxy...
It's really hard
Mario
for
Galaxy
me.
isn't incredibly difficult, but there are some really hard parts, but they're always fun. It's never cheap.
Well, I think, okay, so that's an example of, they want, the accessibility has gotten to the point where they want a lot of people to play it, so it's gotten a lot easier compared to, say, Mario 3. I don't think there's a lot, Mario. If you compare the number of people that have, if we're going by percentage of people who've beaten Super Mario Galaxy, who own the game Mario. And played it, versus Mario 3, I think there's a lot more people that beat Super Mario Galaxy.
Yeah, but that...
Oh, yeah.
But
well,
don't you
do
want...
do you think that has anything to do with it being hard, or people owning Wiis and video games being more accepted in culture?
I think it has to do with people being more accepted... Video games being more accepted in culture. And that's
right.
That's like the shift in where the difficulty of the games have come.
Right. Because, like, somebody was just saying that you know, people... The developers want games to be more accessible. So, you know, you're not going to make a game that's impossible to beat, otherwise nobody's going to buy it, except for the hardcore gamers.
Well, that's why a game like Ikaruga doesn't sell well.
Right. Which is a shame.
Ikaruga, by the way, if you want a fair and incredibly hard game, purchase that. It's on Xbox Live now.
Probably, you could probably find it for, like, $10.
It's like $10 on Xbox Live now, or something like that.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's a beautiful game. If you want to know about, if you want to see something beautiful, in terms of a game design, because there's a lot of symmetry and there's a lot of pattern ideas involved. It's almost like a puzzle game in some ways.
It's colorful and pretty, and it makes you have seizures.
Pretty much.
Like Pikachu.
It's a type of game that makes you want to throw up.
Because it's so
beautiful. So hard. I mean, it's only 5 levels, and most people...
Really?
It's 5 levels long. And it's a type of game, it's like a classic arcade game. And it's a type of game where you come...
It's a top-down shooter, right?
Huh?
Top-down
shooter?
Yeah,
it's a top-down shooter. It's a shmup. And it's designed for... And those kinds of games are designed for you to... After you beat it, the whole point is, oh, I beat it, It's not that you put it down and you go away. You play it again, and you get better at it, and you get a higher score. And the whole point is for you to get more skilled at it.
And that's going back to, like, arcade games, like traditional
arcade games, which were translated, and as Matt had said, it's translated into NES games, like Contra, right, and like Zelda, even though they have some story premise to it. When do you guys, I have a general idea when the shift sort of happened. When do you guys think that shift sort of started occurring?
The hard shift?
PS1.
The hard shift.
Making it easier, you mean?
Yeah.
PS1.
I have a question going along with that. Do you think the shift came because of the introduction of 3D environments and 3D controls?
I think it happened before then.
Well, really? Yeah, it probably happened probably midway through Super Nintendo.
It happened
Nintendo.
Towards the end of Super Nintendo, yeah.
Because Super Nintendo is really broke.
It depends on the genre of games, I think.
What games were really hard on the Super Nintendo? I can't remember any games that were really hard.
There's a couple.
The Super Nintendo?
Was Chrono Trigger for Super Nintendo?
Yeah, Chrono Trigger for Super Nintendo. Okay. But if you compare, I guess a good comparison is the Final Fantasy games. Final Fantasy 3 was for Super Nintendo, the original 3.
But then again, for any RPG, I think you have, like, that thing I was talking about the game being hard just due to numbers.
But I think like Dragon Warrior was a very hard game to begin with. And that was how they designed it. They designed it hard. That's how you're supposed to play it. When you played Final Fantasy, by the time you got through 6, 6 was a relatively easy game. It wasn't, like, balls out hard, you know. But it was like medium to...
Did you think 7 was an easy game?
I thought 7 was really easy. You can beat that game at level 50.
Really?
You could beat that game with your characters at level 50 and not have that much trouble.
Easy peasy lemon
squeezy. That's the hardest game for me to get through. I can't get through that game.
I can't even get past the first disc.
Yeah, every time I get past the first cutscene, my eyes start bleeding and my hands start trembling.
God, Matt.
I can't even play it after that point. My hand reaches for the nearest knife and brings it up to my throat.
It's like a reflex.
And if I ever play Final Fantasy VIII, I just shit myself and go into a coma for 3 days.
Oh, okay.
That's just not nice, Matt.
Final Fantasy VIII, I fall asleep at the first cutscene.
Oh, don't hate me.
The shittiest piece of shit to ever been
VIII.
Shit from
I
a butt.
Oh, my God.
You know, it has the most engrossing story.
Oh,
yeah, right, my ass. what exactly are you fighting at the end?
Spoilers, don't tell.
I think the
right, no,
biggest
that's not the right
dick
answer.
In the entire world or something.
Yes, that's the right answer.
It's like, all of our minds' dicks have combined into one big...
No, for serious, I haven't beaten that game yet.
What? Final Fantasy?
They're all orphan. They're all amnesiacs.
I played it through about 7 times, and I always get stuck in the same place. I always get stuck on the third disc right before you go to the fourth disc, because that's when you can do every side quest in the game. And I always
narcoleptics.
A lot.
Why does everyone have to be a fucking amnesiac in JRPGs?
Because that's the only way they can write a good story.
When's the last time you've ever met somebody that had amnesia? Have you ever met anybody?
A few weeks ago. That's how people
they
in
all
Japan
have amnesia.
All of them.
They're like one big soap opera.
You walk into a town and it's just 70 lone wanderers. What?
I have another good example. the Metal Gear series. Anybody play the original Metal Gear?
Yes.
I tried playing a flash version of it.
Oh wait,
it's probably the worst. it does some really horrible things.
Like I didn't even know. What to do.
That's part of the problem. Myself. And then there's also, did you even get into a building? Okay,
no. I got maybe to like the third.
I think Metal Gear Solid is just.
And I was like,
Wait,
Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, you're
Metal
talking about
Gear.
Metal Gear.
Yeah, Metal Gear.
Yeah, Metal Gear.
Oh, I didn't play that shit. No.
It's so...
I saw the original Metal Gear on sale at a game store, and I almost bought it.
You should have bought
it. Original Nintendo, but I heard it was really.
It's
bad.
It's really bad, and it tells sort of a story, but the like it's hard. It's cheap hard. We were talking about cheap hard before. Like there's pits that open up on the ground, and you can't really.
You want to talk about pits opening up on the ground? We should talk about E.T., the extraterrestrial.
I haven't even played
that. No, we shouldn't talk about that.
Did you even play that?
No. God,
I've seen
no.
videos of that game. I can't even watch videos of that game.
Yeah.
It's so horrible.
The worst game ever. Anywho, you can continue talking about Metal Gear.
But they have, like, pits opening on the ground. There's, like, mazes that you can't figure out. There's, like, a tank in the beginning and you have
Frogger?
To destroy.
Pac-Man.
But
Pong?
If you don't know what to do about it, you're screwed.
So basically, you have to know it's coming.
Do you think people really thought this game was that difficult, like way back in the day, or are we just spoiled?
I think they thought it was cheap as hell because they had no idea what to do. Like my cousin paid like $60-$70 for this, and he.
Now, do you think you would describe it as hard or just a bad?
I would describe it as a horrible game.
All right.
There's some
because it's hard.
No, it's just a horrible, horrible game. It's a horribly made game.
Oh, okay.
And it's hard for the wrong reasons. Like, if you find the cheats to actually get through that, like, the pits opening up, for example, there's a cheat where you can actually, if you press select and go to the transceiver and then go back to the screen, the pit is gone. It, like, shit like that. So you can cheat your way through the entire damn thing.
So basically you had to know what was coming before it happened?
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
So, like, in reality, you would basically have
you'd
to,
have to actually,
make all of these
you'd have to actually fall
and remember
into
where
it
they were.
And say, like, yeah. Fuck.
Yeah, that's kind of what I found Zack and Wiki to be, which was disappointing on my part.
I had heard
so many good things about it, but really, it's just trial and error.
I know, exactly.
That's why I was excited about it. But for me, it just felt like, you know, you basically can't tell what's right or wrong, because there really weren't, like, any, like, constraints. Like, you didn't know what the game considered, like, real or not. Like, if you sawed something down, you didn't know if, you know, it was going to fall on you, or if it was going to fall away, or if it was going to explode.
Well,
I mean,
it's sort of like the... It's like watching House and not knowing what the symptoms... You'll have no idea what the disease is.
It's not lupus.
It's
not
fucking
lupus.
It's always lupus.
But, I mean, if you compare it to a show like...
It's always lupus.
And if you compare it to a show like Monk, where they leave clues for you to figure out, and you can figure that shit out, I mean, that's what some of these games are like. These puzzle games, where they're impossibly hard. Like Myst. You don't really know what you're doing in Myst.
By the way... That kind of goes along with something that I've been meaning to say.
Everyone watch Monk. Everyone should be watching Monk
right
now.
Yes, thank you, Alex. I'm glad you picked up on that. no, but recently we've been talking about, like, the what-the-fuck moments in Majora's Mask, and I went on that whole rant, and then you and Danny were like, oh, blah, 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 blah. Well, the thing there is, where are you supposed to stop suspending your disbelief?
It's a video... It's a video
mean?
Game.
I never played the game. I was just pulling your tail.
No, I know, but it's not specific to Majora's Mask.
You've never played Majora's Mask, Alex?
No.
It's,
okay,
oh my God.
So shut the fuck up. Anyway, okay, it's a video game. You have to realize that developers have to make concessions so the player isn't horribly confused and annoyed. If you had to sit Link down to take a shit every day and take a nap, it would be terrible, and you wouldn't want to play that piece of shit.
Right, of course. But I mean, in some of these situations, like, you're not really sure what is going to happen and what's not going to happen. You know, like, say, Mario for jumping. Like, if you didn't already know and this wasn't, like, an established thing, you know, how high is Mario going to jump? How is he supposed to jump over this pipe that's 10 times bigger?
You mean realistically?
It's a stupid question to ask, Adam. Adam, you're the only person who thinks like that.
When you're playing a game... The thing is, you're...
Well, that must mean I'm the smartest person in the world.
When you're playing a game, the only rules you really need to know is enough... You need to know enough rules to get to the end, to get your goal accomplished, right? That's basically what a game is. And so, the only things you don't really care about the physical aspects of it or the rules of the universe. You suspend your... You end up having that problem when you start questioning, like, the story aspect of it, I think. That really is what brings it on. Like, you start...
No, but even, like, in the controls.
Like, moving the character around?
Probably not that, because, I mean, that's pretty hard to get wrong. But say... I don't know, like... Say God of War.
Mm-hmm.
Like... I don't know. I can't think of a good example. I'll bring it up again.
Well, he never takes a shit. I mean, that's my problem with that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why Kratos is always angry.
Where you draw the line with reality in a game, Adam?
I'm just saying, what I'm saying is Kratos goes through that entire fucking God of War. Kratos doesn't once have to take a shit in any ancient Greece, you know.
And that's why he's always pissed.
Chamber pots.
That's why I hate... Ha, get it? Piss. But don't.
Why don't we see the 12-hour shit scene when he's constipated?
And at the end, he's like,
I am the God of War.
He's like, I feel a lot better.
Oh, there's no fucking toilet paper. I'm going to have to use my gigantic blades and scrape this shit out of my asshole.
Athena! Athena!
This is
Where's
Sparta!
My toilet paper?
Okay, so I'm sorry. What were we talking about?
I think Poseidon would have to guide the waters into his ass like a gigantic mythic bidet. God.
They had bidets in Japan.
Congratulations.
We had one in our room. The toilet seat was heated. It was quite.
Did
nice.
They have urethral bidets that would go up your pee hole?
Oh God. That sounds painful.
Probably.
But
not in our room. Or not at least that I saw.
Why are we even talking about this?
Would you rather talk about pubes?
Share. Does Kratos have pubes?
Moving on.
Kratos.
All right, so, okay, here's a question. Oh, wait, did I already say this about the TV?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't... No,
but we didn't really talk about it.
We sort of got sidetracked. But
yeah, so let's talk about that. So let's take the first, like, 3D environmental game, Mario 64. So, first off, do you think that was harder or easier than previous Mario games? Platforming Mario games.
Easier.
Yeah?
I don't know.
What do you guys think?
Hard in a different way. I mean, there's some really hard parts of Mario 64. It's hard to get all 120 stars. I don't know.
Okay.
Is it hard because of...
You know what? I thought that Mario Sunshine was way a harder platformer than Mario 64.
Now, let me ask you this. Is it harder because you can't really see where you're jumping, for example? Because there's some intrinsic rules that, like, for 3D first-person shooters... For first-person shooters, there's, like, some intrinsic rules. There's some rules that they have that you don't do unless you find a way around it. Like, you don't jump because you don't see your feet. Right? So you don't... I could see that...
You can't shoot your feet either. You can't shoot your feet.
No, well, I mean, the thing is, you don't... When you're jumping in the game, you're usually jumping forward. You have no...
Oh,
you have
right,
no,
right,
you have no
right.
figure of depth.
You can't tell, like, where the lower part of your
body
is.
Yeah, and you can't... You don't have any gauge of depth. With Metroid Prime, they fix that, because every time you jump, you actually point downwards. And so you actually know how high you're jumping and how far you're jumping out. So that's not a problem. But with something like Mario 64...
Right, so is it that kind of thing that makes gaming... easier or maybe harder for some games?
Well, I mean, they make it easy. If they want to make it fair, it ends up being easier because you have to compensate for it. So you do less of it or you don't do it
for,
at all.
Okay. Well, say for like a platformer. I think what you're saying is it makes it harder because you can't see where you're jumping except for a few games.
I don't fucking know. Who
Wait,
gives
that?
A shit?
Is that right?
Games are hard. Games are easy. We all go home. We all fucking...
Podcast over. Thanks, Matt, for wrapping that up for us.
I mean, it could be made easier. If they can compensate for it and find a way so that it's every jump is fair, then you can make it so that you have hard jumps.
What is fair?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? So
I think it's so hard to even talk about. I don't know. It's... 2D and 3D are completely different. You can't directly compare them. You can't say one's harder than the other. I mean, sometimes, I guess. Donkey Kong Country is pretty cheap in places. and it's harder than Donkey Kong 64, but fuck them both.
God, Matt.
Anger.
Yeah, really.
I don't know, is there... Okay, so Matt brings up a good point. It's kind of hard to compare, but is there a game that you guys can think of that is similar enough in 2D and 3D that
nope.
we can talk about?
I think we should end it. I think if we've said all we can say. I think we should go into emails.
I'm stroking
you,
my
you
beard.
Don't have
I can't
a beard.
Think of a game like that. I can't think of a game between 2D and 3D. All okay. I, what I can think...
Hey, listeners, if you can think of a game, why don't you email
yeah,
us?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Well, email us a fucking game idea. If you want us to make a game, we'll go ahead and make that game. If you think there's a 2D, 3D crossover idea, then just go ahead and mail us, and we'll get right on that. Get Cliffy B.
God, Matt, are you, like, drunk or something?
Well, we're about Mega Man Legends,
his girlfriend.
Actually.
His girlfriend just told him she's pregnant.
Do you guys ever play Mega Man Legends?
Jeez.
I was nice to you there, Matt. I didn't say your boyfriend.
If my boyfriend told me he was pregnant,
I'd
be like, what?
What?
I guess we're not talking about this anymore.
Alex, what'd you say?
You ever play Mega Man Legends?
No. I played Mega Man Legends with Bagger Vance.
I don't think so.
God, I hate you.
Okay, why?
So, I mean, it's sort of... They try rectifying some of it, right? So they have it more of like a third-person shooter, and they have accessible jumps. And it's not a hard game. I mean, sort of between the 2D and 3D, I think. That's the closest I could think of. It's actually like a very Zelda design in some ways. But yeah, I remember somebody saying that they could have made Zelda better without having to target anybody. And then I saw videos for Oblivion, and I saw the sword fighting in that. I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding
me. Z targeting was pretty revolutionary.
And it's still
opinion.
A good idea. I mean,
yeah.
In Zelda's case, you can make a harder game just by ramping up damage to what it's supposed to
like,
be.
Like, in Metroid Prime, obviously they do the same kind of targeting, and I found myself in The Conduit kind of missing that kind of targeting.
Yeah, I mean, at least just somewhere focusing to a degree. So you know where objects are, which objects are able to be hit. And I guess the serious closing is that you know what you have to know what your system is, right? What your it's either a 2D or 3D game. And you know what your limitations are. And you know what the cheap things are, but you know that there are certain aspects of the game that you can tweak to make it harder or easier. And so if you want to make a hard game, you have to be able to work around those things without compromising the really cheap stuff that will get you hit for no reason. So keep in mind with camera angles and people hitting you for a 3D game.
We should start a segment called Advice from Alex.
Yeah, that would suck.
To video game companies.
Nobody's going to listen to this
there
shit anyway.
There is your advice from Alex.
Can I?
For
also...
Do you guys think gaming has become harder, perhaps because of online gaming? Because players are now playing other players, and it actually takes, you know, it's like skill versus skill rather skill versus
luck. Well, it's completely different. I mean, you can't compare multiplayer gaming to single player gaming. I mean, it's ever since multiplayer gaming has existed, it's a completely different arena.
No, but it fills a niche, I think. Yeah. So there hasn't been that huge need for making more challenging games so much, right? I mean, like, StarCraft isn't a hard game for single player, but goddamn, those fucking Koreans.
You know, you can learn to play StarCraft from that one true Korean guy.
Yeah, I can
Did
also
I
give
you
my
that?
Blood. I don't think it'll help.
Well, how would that help me play StarCraft?
Because it's Korean. We love that shit.
Please. So, what would you guys prefer? Would you prefer a game being hard because of the AI, or because you're playing other people who are really good?
AI, because inevitably the people who are better than me are like 15 years younger than me. And,
and it makes you feel inadequate.
They're four or five years old.
Those four-year-olds are good, man.
Have you played fucking Xbox Live? That's what it sounds like, okay?
Well, they have the communication skills of a two-year-old.
And racist.
The degeneration of society.
I saw a guy named Vernon Hebes. He was a racist, and I was talking to him, and he was not very kind to Jews or blacks, and I didn't appreciate that.
Was he you?
No, it was not me.
I mean, I think they could make single player games harder, and the ones that they've been trying to make hard, they could make it a little more fair. They could do certain things that would make a game more fun by not doing it. And I'm looking at you, God of War. Stop fucking doing the people crap, because I really fucking hate it.
I think once we get technology to where, like, AI actually starts learning, like, you have some stuff that does that, but at a really simplified level. But I think once, you know, the AI actually learns and reacts differently to certain situations, then that's going to be, you know, like, truly hard.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a fun thing.
There's some things that...
Until they get too smart, that they start building robots and start harvesting humans and, you know, make their own...
Well, we're going to stop Cyberdyne before
kill off the humans, and then we'll have to, like, bury down deep into the Earth's core. I don't even know how, but it's going to be really, really hot down there. We're going to call this, like, Zion or something. I don't know. Something crazy sounding like that. And then there's going to be, like, this virtual reality.
But well, hold on. How will we do our podcast then?
I don't know. Somebody
what will we do our podcast on then?
It's probably out there somewhere on the internet.
How would anybody be listening to this podcast?
I'm sure somebody would. Yes.
Does anybody listen now?
A million viewers.
I listen.
We're listeners.
We have at least 5 listeners.
But
that's all that matters for me.
I was impressed with, like, Call of Duty 2 back in a couple of years ago now, where the enemies were actually walking around the other side of the building to get me from behind. I mean, that's smart and that's fair.
Nope, Call
because then you're like,
Call
shit,
Duty 4
I
threw
thought
that out the fucking window. There's like, fuck you. How about this?
Well, I mean, the problem is it's a lot harder to...
There was one of the podcasts, Angel was playing that while he was talking, and he was saying, like, they were throwing, like, an infinite amount of grenades
at him. Yeah, that's
what
they do.
Like, I guess you only get, like, a certain amount of grenades, and just the AI was throwing grenade after grenade after grenade, even after they were out. And, like, more enemies would, like, spawn with more grenades. And they just get rid of the ones without grenades.
And it comes down to developer laziness. I mean, this kind of shit is developers being just shitheads and lazy. It's easier to change numbers, right? It's easier to ramp up amount of health than amount of damage taken, rather than to actually make something intuitively hard, making something smarter, or making the design from the get-go hard to begin with. These guys, I don't even know if these guys really have played a hard game before. I don't know what they were thinking. Like, oh, I'm being creative, so... The developers, like, oh, I'm going to be creative. I'm going to make the cameras right behind his ass, so you can't see shit. I mean, that's stupidity.
That's just personal choice, Alex. There's nothing wrong.
Look, I want to see a woman's ass, which is why I'd probably play a Tomb Raider game over playing Hitman, so I don't want to see Hitman's ass. I want to see...
How about Mrs. Pac-Man?
Oh my gosh, she's got beautiful balls.
I
oh my god.
Yeah.
Alright.
Yeah.
Can we go on to emails? Can I read my email?
It's that time.
Yeah, let's go on to emails.
Oh,
Matt.
Yeah.
Do we have any emails?
I got an email. It's sent to my personal account, but it's about the podcast.
sure.
No.
It was from all the ladies of the world. All of them. And I'm going off memory. I don't have it open right now. But it said, I'm pretty sure this is pretty much verbatim what it said. It said, "Dear Matt, you make us like the ocean. Wet, salty, and full of crabs."
Back off, ladies.
And that's all it said. That's That was it. Love the ladies, so.
Oh my god.
Who's he taken by, Adam?
By me. Who else? God.
You're such a whore.
Hey.
Hey, he's a one-man man. Man.
A lady of the night.
There you go. Thank you, Matt.
Matt, why can't I stop I loving it. You?
Well, he's a one man at a time. You know, he won't take it. He only has one hole. Like, he has two holes, but he likes to leave one.
I have
no,
more
there's
than
a
two
third.
Holes, Matt.
Alex, is this supposed to be a movie quote that
I
you
think
just
it was.
Said?
I think
that's what
I
it sounded
I screw
like.
Up the Brokeback Mountain
like a song or something.
That was a horrible, horrible movie quote. Why can't I stop loving you?
Okay, oh so.
God. Anyways, wow. All right. So let's do our contact info. If you want to go to our website, there's two addresses that'll take you to the same place. The longer one is www.ztpsocialboard.proboards.com. The shorter one is tinyurl.com/working title. Our email, of course, is WTPodcast, as in working title podcast, @gmail.com. And now we're hip. We have a Twitter. You can find us at ZeldaWTPodcast.
Who's actually writing the Twitter?
Yes. We are.
Yeah,
we're
all,
on
who's
the
writing we're all
it?
At
is,
the
is
same
Matt
time.
Writing
no,
the
we're all doing it at the same time.
Yeah. We're all logged on at the same time, being like, oh my gosh, look,
we
have
each
followers.
Do one letter in the sentence.
Like, hey, let's follow this guy. Let's follow
no,
that
is it
guy.
Like, I'm scratching my balls, Matt. Like that kind of thing, or?
Yep.
No, we only update it when it's like about the podcast.
Well, no, whenever I'm scratching my balls, I usually update
Laura
it from
doesn't.
My phone.
We go get our own Twitter accounts.
Mm-hmm. Do you...
That would be why
now,
we don't
do
have
you do it,
on Twitter
do you
then.
Do it with your phone hand? Or do you Twitter it with your hands, with the hand that you've been scratching your balls
I'll leave
with?
That for the listeners to decide.
They're the same hand.
So, listeners, you visualize that.
You heard it from here
we
first.
We should do a poll.
Poll. Which hand do I scratch my balls with?
We shouldn't do a poll.
Does Matt use his phone hand?
Poll.
Yeah.
How shaved are
yes
Laura's
no?
pubes? Poll.
Shut
does
up,
the
Matt,
carpet
God.
Match
okay,
the curtains?
I think we're going to end this before it gets too out of hand and people start killing each other.
Is it Brown Downtown?
Bye. Beautiful pubes.
In Lawrencetown?
Goodbye. Goodbye, listeners. All right, so this was episode 9. Hopefully we'll be back next week to talk about more stuff. We'll see you later.
Cocksucker.